Hello guys, welcome to the Blacksmith Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to day two at the US Open. How did you find today?
Less intense.
Definitely.
But still busy.
Definitely. 100%.
I was outside a lot more today, Lucy.
You actually were.
I was outside.
You actually were. Credits to you.
Thank you.
Credits to you.
And it was, the sun was beating my ass.
I had to run down and get you water.
But no,
I felt sorry for you.
It was a good day. And no, shouts out to you for doing that. But you know, it was a good day. Just really good matches, like across the board. Even the matches that, we didn't get the results we wanted, they were still like entertaining matches to watch.
For sure.
Like, how did you find today?
I feel the same way. It started off pretty cool, easy, and then I feel like as the day was going, the matches were getting tougher and tougher and tougher. It was cool. I feel like the grounds weren't as busy.
Yeah, you did say that actually.
Compared to like yesterday, although I think in the evening it got busier.
I feel like people were maybe trying to like find shade. Hence why.
It was.
Maybe felt.
The funniest thing is apparently tomorrow is going to be hotter, but the sun today is really beating down.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't as cloudy. I feel like Monday there was times where it was a bit cloudy, so you didn't really have like the sun and stuff. Oh, by the way, guys, if you are hearing a lot of noise outside or wind, we are like on court. What court number is this?
That's a good question.
Court 10? Number something.
Is it court 10?
Court. No, I think it's like 5.
Court
number 4. Guys, literally, it's very hard to find a quiet area at the US Open compared to the Wimbledon. So, yeah, just know that throughout the slam, you might, you know, be hearing some stuff. But this gives you...
some ambience.
Makes it seem like, you know, you're here with us.
Exactly.
You know, especially that we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you guys and your support. So, makes it, you know, and we're next to New York traffic. This is giving real New York vibe. Speaking of US Open, I have a confession.
What's that?
I have spent my life saying that Roland Garros is the ghetto open.
Oh, stop it, Lucy.
I am afraid US Open might have been that.
Really?
Not in a bad way, guys, by the way. Not in a bad way.
Respectfully,
this is still my favorite Grand Slam. Still loving it. But yo, it's a lot. It's just a lot. Maybe because it's so different from Wimbledon.
You have to elaborate. Like, you can't just say it's a lot.
Okay, so number one, very overly crowded.
Okay.
I do think they need to have some sort of regulations for the grounds. I feel like I've been seeing a lot more tweets from people complaining about how busy it is. I have a theory about that, but I don't know if I want to share it yet.
Can't say that. You have to share it at some point. If not today, at some point, you have to share that.
I don't know. Let me think about it.
Okay.
Overly crowded. It's very noisy. Like Louis Armstrong, it's like, I don't know how the players do it. I'm not going to lie. It's very, very loud. But it's weird. It's like, I like that vibe, but at the same time, it's like, do you get what I mean?
And I hear you.
Yeah, but yeah. Or maybe it's just, I don't know. It's just a lot.
I think we've always been aware of it, but being here.
But being here.
It's
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Like, and it's funny because I'm always like, yeah, I love how busy
US exactly.
Open. That's one of the reasons why I love it. But actually being here, I think I like it when I'm in my bed.
Watching on TV.
Watching TV, but in person. But yeah, either way, shout out US Open. Shout out to everyone that comes here. Still a great atmosphere. Very casual. It's nice seeing, very diverse as well compared to Wimbledon.
Very, very diverse.
Very
and
diverse. Yeah, shout out to all the black women yesterday that were giving me compliments about my dress. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Or my hair. So, yeah, I don't really get that. I get out of Wimbledon, but not a lot from black women, you know? So, yeah. Should we crack on?
Let's crack on, Lucy.
First match. Oh, no, sorry. We starting with the first win.
Yeah.
After the day.
Yeah. So, Naomi Osaka. Mm-hmm. Came out styling on them. In that green,
that drip. Did you like it?
I like green's like one of my favorite colors. So
we said that.
I do like seeing green fits on tennis players. And yeah, I thought she looked really good. It was an ambush. So Yun Ambush, mm-hmm. which is a Japanese designer,
mm-hmm.
Nike collaboration. And obviously we know like Asaka's like very much into her fashions.
Yep.
And I think I read on Yun's Instagram page that mm-hmm. basically the dress was like a kind of paying homage to like Japanese culture.
And Harajuku type of themed yeah, thing. Yeah, because yeah, even Asaka said that at her press as well. I mean, even as soon as I saw it, I think I even said it to you. I was like, oh, this is, especially with the hair. I was like, yo, this is real Harajuku vibes.
Like the bows and stuff and...
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
Police, NYPD. But no, she looked good. And mm-hmm. like, she played as she looked. What's the saying? Feel good, look good, play good.
For sure.
And yeah, honestly, Lucy, I think as the match, because yeah, we both stayed,
yeah.
for the first set anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I did go... Forgot who I went to go and see. Oh, I went to see Matthew Forbes, yeah. Exactly. But yeah, I think I said to you, like, if Asaka wins this first set, she's winning in straights.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
And to be fair, the match, they both started off like quite strongly. I think
yeah.
serving wise, like I've got here, felt like a serve bot showdown. Like both just like serving off, well, holding serve with ease.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, I think Ostapenko's second serve was slightly better than her first, but yeah, both okay. but both of their serves were really great anyways.
And that for me, that always kind of sets a tone or kind of shows where a player's at in terms of like confidence.
For sure.
And yeah, it wasn't just like serving, you know, aces
mm-hmm.
or like, I don't know, serve plus one. There were like some nice rallies in there too,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which I thought kind of contributed to like the kind of the whole match in terms of the quality of the match.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, what did you make of like Osaka's level and Ostapenko?
To be honest, I feel like Osaka leveled up so much. I was just so focused on her. Yeah, like honestly, she was, her serves were great, her points were great. She had literally zero unforced errors that first set.
Nuts.
Zero. And I find it so interesting because everyone was making all these jokes saying, oh, the balls are going to be flying all the way
all
to
all over New York.
All over New York and stuff. Like, there was a lot of funny tweets about what they expected from that match. And it was completely different from both of them, especially from Osaka, I will say.
I did see someone tweet, I think you quote tweeted it, about the foot fault camera being Ostapenko's biggest
enemy, yeah. Yeah, I retweeted that.
I don't know how many times she got foot faulted, but...
Only once. But it's just, for that match, it's just that out of all of the WTA players, Ostapenko is the one where it's like, there's always something with like Hawkeye and everything. So yeah, but... Honestly, Osaka's level was just really impressive. It even made me wonder, like, was that her best match, like her best performance? And even when I asked that on our Twitter account, which, by the way, you should follow, guys, if you don't, for daily tennis updates. a lot of people were saying that it was either that or Igor.
Okay.
And the more French. I thought about it, I personally, for me, I think it might be this one. I can understand why, because someone explained it really well with Iga saying that, you know, you're going against the best on her best surface. Yeah. Do you get what I mean? But with this match, I feel like I was seeing the old Osaka, the Osaka that I fell in love with, you know, when she was on form and stuff, especially during that first set.
Yeah.
So it was nice and refreshing to see that. And you can tell that it meant a lot to her as well because she literally was emotional after the match.
Broke
and I was like,
tears.
Oh my gosh. Like, you know, it was good to see that it was happy tears as well. And for me as a tennis fan, it was also great to see because it shows that she wants it so bad.
Still. Yeah.
Still, exactly. Yeah. And she did say a lot of times how, you know, the US Open, she missed it so much. She said it plenty of time that, you know, she would watch when she was pregnant and she was really like, damn, I want to be there and stuff. So she wasn't just saying it for vibes. She really meant it. And you could see it through, like, the way she got so emotional. But, yeah, even in the second set, you know, she broke first. She had a little bit more errors. Obviously, that's when errors kind of started, started in the second set, but at the same time, Ostapenko was playing better.
Yeah.
But she just couldn't. She couldn't be at the same level as like Osaka. So honestly, credits to her. Lil Wayne didn't show up, unfortunately, guys. I was like, where is Wayne? Like, I want to see. But then again, you reminded us, you know, Corday and you and Osaka, like, you know, sorry, Corday and Wayne, you know, very, very good friends. Like, Wayne has actually praised Corday's rap abilities.
I thought you said they've collaborated on some
stuff. They have two songs collaborate, and there's one that came out recently, was really good. But yeah, honestly, I'm so happy to see Osaka back like this. And
You went to a press conference.
And
if you haven't seen it, guys, go on YouTube and you'll see Lucy Tazangi of Black Spin Global asks Naomi Osaka a question.
Yeah. obviously, we've said it so many times on the pod that Osaka has been playing really, really well against like the top players. Yeah. Like whether they're Grand Slam champions, whether they're top seeded players and so on. And I actually asked her, like, is that one way to like motivate yourself? Like, what is it? Like, how come like those matches are some of your best performances? Mm. Even if she doesn't win them, like Iga, she didn't win it, but to this day we speak about it. And this is what she had to say.
I mean, I would definitely say, I'm not sure if it's motivation or if I feel like I have no other choice but to play well. And then it gets rid of all the expectations and all the pressure I put on myself. Because I know, like, no matter what, the tennis is going to be really great tennis, even if I win or lose. So that's kind of my mindset whenever I play, like, seeded players or really good players.
No, I like to answer, like, because again, that's something we have said as well.
Exactly.
And not just about Osaka, but to be fair, most players
kind
of up their game against the higher quality player that they play against.
Yeah.
Not everybody can match the level.
True.
But yeah, I guess that's kind of what happens when you meet quality. You've got to try and kind of get up to that quality yourself. So good to see Osaka, man. Like,
yeah.
And New York is home for her, like...
Exactly. Two-time US Open champion.
Fans love her.
And she even said during her press, you know, she said, like, you know, she grew up here. Like, she,
exactly,
you know...
Yeah.
She used to go to the US Open, watch her favourite players, and she used to come in. So from coming here to actually winning twice and, you know, filling up all these, like, courts... Like, Louis Armstrong was packed.
Yeah.
Packed, like full, all the way up.
And that was people second match there. On, wasn't it?
That was second match on. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Second match on. So yeah. So shout out to Ostapenko. Shout out to Osaka.
So she's got Karolina Mukova next. Again, another tough. That's a tough opponent.
Yeah. Although Mukova this season has been a bit up and down, but yeah, apparently she was playing some crazy shots in the last match.
So she won in straight sets. Whoever she was playing.
So either way, it's going to be a very good one. I'm actually looking forward for that match.
No, indeed. Let's talk about another winner today. Arthur Fils. Saw off Lerner Tien, the American wild card, in four sets, that was.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go to that. You did see a bit of it.
Yeah. I watched the first couple sets, like mainly, especially the first set. Yeah,
he raced. Was it? I've got here 5-1. Yeah, it was 5-1 or 5-2.
So this is what happened, right? It was 5-1. Like he literally raced through. But I will say, Tien actually did not look that comfortable.
Okay.
Because when Fils was like, he was up by 3 games, and Tien actually called.
Trainer.
Was on, yeah, trainer, oh, wow, and okay. stuff like I didn't a physio. Know that.
Okay.
Yeah. After that, things did change a little bit. But yeah, either way, you know.
What were the crowd like? Because obviously Tien's American, but Fils is quite popular.
It was actually like, it was weird. Interestingly, like, I actually expected, you know, the crowd to go more for like the American and stuff. But it was actually a mix of two.
I can imagine.
And funny enough, Fils even mentioned it on his press. Like he was like, he was even taken back. Like, he was kind of surprised. He was like, yeah, I actually thought, you know, obviously he's American, they'll go all for him, but...
Popular guy, man.
Yeah, they were actually, they were also going for me, that's like, hard. And stuff. So, yeah, I mean, this year, I think Fizz actually got a lot of new fans and stuff, and that really helped. But, yeah, but that match was really, really impressive level from Feast.
Because he lost the second set.
He lost the second set.
Which meant it had to go to four. Mm-hmm. Went to four. He won in four sets in the end.
Yeah. And to be fair, like I was sitting next to someone on the court, and they were telling me how, like, he knows, like, some people who played against Tien.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you said.
Yeah. And he said that those people, the one thing that they gave credits to, when it comes to him, is his mental ability. Like, apparently, like, you know, he's really, really, really good. And even Feast was actually crediting him.
Nice.
During, like, the press conferences, and saying that, oh, yeah, like, because obviously he didn't play him before, and it was like, oh, yeah, he's, like, really, really great player. I think he's actually playing next gen as well. Which is what Feast mentioned.
Oh, okay, Tien, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Which is what he mentioned. Feast is even the one who mentioned it during his press. Like, he was like, the way he was talking about his level, it wasn't a thing of like, it was like a good surprise. Yeah. Like, raw, like, yeah, he's really good. Like, you can see him, like, really, like, leveling up. So, looks like we have to keep an eye on Tien, like, nice. In the future and stuff. Like, these young players are doing well. But yeah, he honestly, Feast was like very powerful, very on form. You know, it's just like he just needs to keep on improving his mental, which is what he did, and he felt like that's what actually kind of like helped him throughout his game. And Tumani, shout out to our guy Tumani, I actually asked him some questions about that and asked him a question about like how, like, you know, he's been playing this entire season and how he's just keep on leveling up. What has helped with that? And even during that match as well. And this is what he had to say.
You've all risen a lot this year. I'm curious, where do you feel you've improved the most this year? And where do you feel, like, what's the difference between you and another step?
And the mental, I think. Mental. Yeah. Today I didn't get pissed. I was staying calm, you know? I could have break some rackets, but no. Staying calm and, you know, just manage myself and I think it helps me a lot today and in general during a couple of months now. So I'm still trying to work on it, but it's better and better, and I like it.
How do you work on that?
Oh, with my coaches, we are talking a lot, and you know, it's me and myself. You know, on the court, if I want to win, I have to stay calm and I have to play my game, and even if sometimes it's not working, I still have to play. You know, if the mental is going away, then I cannot play anymore. So it's only me and myself.
So yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Nice answer. Yeah.
Really nice answer.
He's just matured, like, and he is maturing.
A lot.
Like, you say a lot, Lucy. It's just it's kind of at the pace it should be, because mm-hmm. like he's what 20, just
he
turned
20.
He just
turned 20, like a month or two ago.
And yeah, he just keeps, like you said, elevating, like, year after year, mm-hmm. kind of doing all of the kind of the right things. Now this is his first year where he's competed at all the Grand Slams. Like,
Grand Slams, yeah.
So again, that just shows how early on. Or early into his career, mm-hmm. like he is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've just got a feeling like America is going to be a really good place for him. Like, I just feel like the vibe suits him.
Yeah.
The hard courts.
And I feel like they like him here.
Of course
as well.
They do. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, man. Look, obviously, someone that we root for and like kind of cheer on a lot. But
yeah.
I think there's big things like in the future, like for Feast, our tour Feast ahead.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, he even said it himself, like, he's really proud of, like, you know, what he's been able to accomplish. I did ask him, like, if he felt like it caught him off guard to, like, how tough it was changing from, you know, grass
the surfaces, yeah.
To clay, to back to, like, hardcore, yeah. Especially that. It was kind of, like, up and down. Because, you know, he won his title.
And he played the Olympics
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, he won the title, played the Olympics. Had some early, like, rounds, exits and stuff. But, you know, he said, like, you know, he still came in a breeze through and is happy to be here. So, yeah.
No, brilliant. 24th seed. And who does he play next? It is Jado for Feast next, and that's because Jado won his match today against Joaime Munar of Spain. It's been a great tournament for the Canadian, like came through qualifying.
Mm-hmm.
And like we always say, like qualifying, it gives you like that momentum, the three wins, and then coming into the main draw,
mm-hmm.
like you would think, oh, are they going to be tired? Like, are they going to be fatigued?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I think it's good to have matches under your belt. And this is also his US Open debut too. So a lot of milestones.
Sure.
First win at a Grand Slam in the main draw.
Mm-hmm.
He did play the French this year, but he did lose. I mentioned that, didn't I? He lost to Kei Nishikori at the French.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a five-setter. But yeah, got this win today in four sets. I was there for most of it, actually. Really impressive his level, Lucy.
I watched a bit. Just a couple games.
You tweeted about his forehand.
I was heavy. What?
Heavy.
Really, really, really strong. Strong serves as well.
Yeah, he serves a bit like averaging 132, like high, low 130s.
Wow.
And he's 22. So quite big, though. He's a big guy, though. He's like 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah.
Which is pretty much standard tennis guy height now.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, he's got a lot of power. He possesses a lot of power.
Yeah.
And the forehand probably is his strongest weapon.
I would say. Because when I was there as well, there was most of his errors was from his backhand.
Yeah.
Not really his forehand.
He does mix up a lot though on the backhand, which I like. So a lot of slicing.
Yeah, 100%.
I'd like to see him tidy up his like body or net game. Because when he comes into the net, like he doesn't feel with like the most confidence, but he is good. He's solid at the net, but he could definitely improve at the net. But from the baseline, the forehand is a big weapon, and he was using that a lot against Munar. Mm. It was funny because during the match, obviously he won the first set.
Mm-hmm.
I think 6-4. Obviously, we put it down in the tweet.
Mm-hmm.
But the second set, Munar like mounted a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, here we go. This is going to go to five. And I was kind of praying that it wouldn't, you know, go too long because I wanted to try and watch Paolini. Although that was a bit maybe too optimistic.
Yeah.
Credit to Jalo. Like he just basically locked in, as we like to say. Like, and it easily could have turned because there was a point he was 3-love up in the fourth set.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know what happened, actually. He either tweaked his hand or there was some kind of, like, nerve thing. He literally went down at the back of the court, like, fell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Munar, to his credit, like, raced over to see if he was okay.
Oh, bro, okay.
Yeah, because he was, like, kind of, like, shouting in pain.
Mm.
But luckily enough, like, he actually was okay. He was broken in that game. So Munar won that game to get on the board, make it 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Jado was able to hold and close out the match, although it did get nervy towards the end of that fourth set. I think he served for it at 5-4. Munar broke back. And then, again, to Jado's credit, he broke Munar again to make it 6-5. And then he did hold to close out the match at 7-5. So yeah, there was like a heckling. I say heckling. There was one guy in a crowd, American too, which is weird. Just really shouting like over enthusiastically in support of Munar. And it got quite irritating because he moved like behind Jado's camp, which was just like unnecessary.
Crazy.
And Jado was clearly getting annoyed because he even like said to the umpire, like, can you basically tell this guy to move or like get security? Like, and his team were like pointing at him as well to say, it's this guy here, get him out.
And did the umpire do it?
No one did anything. Because I don't think the umpire can actually do anything about spectators unless they're like
on the main short and they're like, please keep it down.
Not even that. Like, I think it's unless they're like being offensive. But just chanting is. I think that's okay. It was very borderline, Lucy. I'm not gonna lie, and it was uncomfortable to watch.
But
he got handled. I won't go into detail, but he got handled. Jado was able to hold and close out the match.
Yeah.
And I'm just really happy for him. He's 22 years old. He's kind of been on the cusp for a while, like in terms of like having a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm. Maybe this will be...
This is it, Lucy. Like, it's a Grand Slam. Yeah. Like, so...
Because even if he even if, like, let's say Feast does beat him, it still puts his name 100%. Out there. A lot of people
are going to be watching that match.
Yeah.
Mainly
yeah.
because of Feast, but then also now yeah. Jallo, this Canadian kid, uh-huh. like.
And I think he's actually the only Canadian left.
That's a good point.
Well, from today, anyways. That's a good point. Today, yeah. If I remember correctly, I may be wrong.
I don't know Shapovalov.
Yeah, I don't know Shapovalov, no, but all I know today, all of the Canadian players, Andreescu, Fernandez.
Fernandez lose.
Yeah, damn. She did. And apparently it was bad. Apparently it was like, I think the first set or something like that was really good. And then she just completely like fell off.
Tough.
Tough. Yeah, obviously Felix, which we'll talk about later.
In a bit, yeah.
But yeah, apparently today was not the greatest day for the Canadians. But thankfully, Gabriel Jallo pulled through. And thankfully, is one of our players. You know, shout out to Guinea. But speaking of the fans, actually, quickly, because obviously this year apparently is the first time that they did that, the whole, like, you know, letting fans like walking through and everything. But I think it's for some matches, not all, because I remember the Cocos match yesterday, they were doing it, but then there was one match in the evening where they were like, please guys, remain in your seat or wait
on
or
Ash.
Blah blah blah. Yeah, on Ash.
Okay.
But yeah, I wonder how it is for like the players and stuff. That's like it must question. Be really tough, because during the Paolini Andreescu match, there was even one moment, Andreescu, you could tell that she was taking time to serve, because she was waiting for people to, like, I think she was expecting people to, you know, be quiet and wait. But like, as I said earlier, Louis Armstrong is like,
ain't no one being quiet.
Yo, it's I don't know, man. That court is just different. Do you get what I mean? So yeah, I just want to say kudos to the players, because I'm not going to lie. If as a fan, I'm even finding it hard to, like, you know, focus or concentrate, I can't imagine what it is the actual players who even need it even more.
Because again, we kind of spoke about it. Like, I think the players kind of do well to kind of ignore it. But then I feel like maybe if you're losing, it's going to maybe agitate you a bit more, as opposed to if you're winning.
For Andreescu, for instance,
yeah, so that's understandable.
I think that time when she was trying to serve, I think she hit an error on her serve and stuff. But
it's tough.
Yeah, but shout out to Jallo. We will be looking forward to that.
Feast Jallo showdown.
Yeah,
crazy.
Know, unfortunate draw.
Francophone showdown. Well,
oh yeah, true. Yeah,
Feast is French. Which is that's why, Haitian. So yeah,
but that's one of the reasons why I asked Feast, like, do you, like, are you familiar with his game? Like, do you know him? Or you guys, like, think he's like, no, we just, like, spoke, like on, like, the locker rooms and stuff. Oh, okay. And so, yeah, the next match will be the first time against each other. But,
and they're not,
yeah.
To be fair, Jallo is 2 years older, because Feast has just turned 20. Jallo is actually going to be 23 in September.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, they're not exactly age mates. They're, like, okay, he's 3 years older than him.
Fair
so,
enough. Yeah, that's fair.
But I guess, yeah, they'll probably get closer now. Like, probably. Being on the tour together and being brothers, you know.
Yeah.
So, no, we look forward to that third round match.
For sure.
Second round. Another win, Lucy. A late one. Jasmine Paolini.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we couldn't stay for the end of that. But that was a free setter.
Yeah.
Against Bianca Andreescu.
Match of the day, mate.
Really?
100%. Match of the tournament so far, even.
Match of the tournament, you know.
So far. I had 2 days. That was 100%, like, high level. Especially that first set. It was just incredible. Like, even till the third set, I still couldn't tell who was actually going to win this.
Interesting.
And I did say it on, I believe, on the preview that I think you said, you were like, nah, Paolini got this. I was like, well, yeah, I didn't doubt that she was gonna get it, but I knew it was going to be like,
you said it was gonna be a tough one.
And to be honest, I feel like Andreescu even blew my mind even more, especially that first set.
Oh, yeah.
But no, honestly, it was really high level, really great from both. And it was like, both of the service game were really long. Like, the last couple games before it went to a tie break, bro, they were literally going to deuce all the time. It was going to deuce. And it's like, one's about to break, one's about to, like, they were saving break points like crazy. You know, literally, I believe Bianca was like up like 5-3 or 5-2. And somehow it ended up with Paolini saving like four set points to make it into a tiebreak.
It's just standard Paolini, man.
Honestly, like just standard Paolini. You can never call her out. Like Paolini just, even during the match, like some of the points that she was hitting, you're thinking, yeah, that's going to go out. She won't be able to reach that. She will somehow be able to do it. But that first set was it was high quality, big babe tennis, 100% real tennis. But then Bianca won that first set. Going to the second set, Paolini woke up right away. She was not playing any games. She was literally about to bagel Andreescu.
Took it 6-2 in the end.
Literally, yeah. It was like, I think she was up like, yeah, like 5-0. And then Andreescu was like, nah, I'm not taking that bagel. But yeah, honestly, what really costed Bianca that match was her errors. She looked really fit the first two sets. The third set, though, is like her level was just like, she even had like a trainer coming in, massaging her leg and stuff. I even made a funny tweet on my personal account. I was like, yo, Andreescu is like looking like Monfils, like when he's tired. So, you know, but at least with Monfils, we know it's because of his age. Like, come on, uncle's like 36, 37. So we allow him. So it was kind of funny. Like, literally, the way she was putting her hand on her knees, it was literally just like Monfils. It was so funny.
A lot of mom.
Shout out to La Moff. But yeah, honestly, a massive shout out to Bianca because, again, it reminded me of her successful run when she, I can't remember which tournament it was, the one where she played against Osaka and she made it to the semifinals, I believe. She was just playing in like...
Was that this year?
Yeah, it was this year. On the grass. Remember I was on the grass, remember, and I remember saying like...
I think Chatogon Bosch.
I need Osaka and Bianca be healthy again because this is what tennis needs. And Bianca showed it to us again. But yeah, honestly, her serves were good. But obviously, Paolini, come on. What a season she's having.
Man.
She's not an easy person to beat. Her mental is different. She'll fight for every ball anyways.
I'm not shocked by anything she does anymore. Like, she's the fifth seed here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's going to make second week.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, I think, do you know what it is? I'm not surprised, but I need to get used to it.
I know. She's playing Karolina Pliskova next. Like, we haven't even tweeted about it yet because we're recording our podcast. But yeah, Pliskova, of course, it's a dangerous opponent in prospect. But
I feel like
that match
might even be easier for her than Bianca.
I'm still expecting, I'm expecting Paolini to win that probably in straight.
Yeah, no, because if you're talking about Pliskova from like a couple of years ago where she was like randomly playing
She was like number one.
Yeah, then yeah. But Pliskova, I'm not going to lie, she's kind of like, she's not been at her best as she has in the past.
Yeah.
So I don't really see, I honestly feel like this match was probably, was tougher for her than what Pliskova could be. So yeah. I'm not worried about that. But
that's what I was going to say, basically. Like, what a match to kind of get your campaign underway.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
and
true.
Andreescu, obviously she's not seeded, but she's a former champion.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Quality player.
And the match, anyone who watched that match will know it. And if you haven't watched that match, guys, go on YouTube and watch the highlight. I'm telling you, that match was, I was honestly loving it. Really loving it.
Yeah, taking him out in three. I'm just looking at the pictures from the end. Like, clearly there's respect between both of them, which is really nice to see.
Hey, at the end of the day, Bianca, you can say what you want. She won that slam.
Yeah.
But
on Paolini, I think players now are really like, of course, she's a likable person, but like, I think players are like kind of finding more respect for her.
Oh, yeah.
Just because
what
she's achieved and mm-hmm. how
she's
she carries herself.
She's a respectful person. Very nice, very kind.
It's just fantastic to see, man. Yeah. So we look forward to that match against Pliskova.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about some defeats quickly, Lucy, before we ride out. So let's go Felix Auger-Aliassime.
Yeah.
Lost to Jacob Mensik of the mm-hmm. Czech Republic. We did say it was going to be an interesting one just mm-hmm. because Mensik is a good player. But I was expecting Felix to push through just because he's had a good kind of last few weeks.
Yeah.
The Olympics, even before the Olympics as well. But yeah, he lost that in three sets. And it was a bit of a shock because he didn't look comfortable. Like, mm-hmm. I watched most of that match because mm-hmm. That was like the first one on. today, and the sun was beating down. Like, but then I thought to myself, like, he shouldn't really be affected by the heat because, yeah, like he's used to this now.
I personally don't. I know you mentioned the heat quite a few times, but I don't really think it's the heat. I think it was just more of like him. He just wasn't.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I feel like something's off. Like, I don't know what it is, and I was annoyed. We missed his press. I didn't actually know he was doing press. So, and also that's another thing too. I think we discussed this during our Wimbledon pods. Like, me personally, I don't like talking to players like after a loss,
because
it's like it's uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and like I don't really. As much as we're like a positive podcast or whatever, like or platform, it's still difficult to kind of, yeah, get a player to like maybe see the bigger picture, like after a heartbreaking loss.
Yeah.
So I'd rather not do it. Like, call me a chicken, call me whatever you want, call me whatever you want. But yeah, so I was surprised to see that he did press. Unfortunately, it wasn't in one of the main rooms, so there's no transcript, so we can't see what he actually said. But good on him for doing press, because a lot of players don't. As well, like after a defeat.
What do you think, like, Felix needs to like work on or like?
You're asking the wrong person, Lucy. Man, honestly, like, honestly, I couldn't say. I'm just gonna say matches. Like, he just needs matches. Play more tournaments, and yeah, you know, with more matches comes confidence. Well, more match wins comes confidence. Mm-hmm. So that's all I've really got. What would you suggest?
Maybe he needs to change up his routine or something. Maybe he's been not playing...
Not the team, please. We're
not
going
not
there
the team, okay. Not the team. That's why I said routine. But I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe he's been too comfortable with what he's currently doing. Maybe he needs to change up something. Maybe the way, like, he's playing, the tournaments he's playing, how he's practicing, how he's training. I don't want to say the word annoying because it sounds negative, but the tough thing is that I said this so many times, he's a hard person to read and he's not that open. So it's kind of like difficult to know like what's really like going on.
Interesting.
But yeah, I think maybe he just needs like new stuff. I don't know.
We're going there again. We're not going to do that.
What?
New stuff.
No, I mean new stuff, I mean like just as I described earlier, like maybe he just needs to change it up. That's what I mean. Like, you know, maybe he's gotten too comfortable with where he is and how he's actually accomplished certain things. Maybe things just need to switch
He was a semi-finalist in New York, 2021.
Yeah.
So,
but since then, he's lost like a lot of like first rounds and stuff at the US Open. So
I think, yeah, that's a good point. I think this is his second or back-to-back now. That's back-to-back first round exits.
Yeah.
Last year
and
lost
who knows?
Or round.
Maybe that was even like in his head a lot. Who knows that the fact that he probably came in thinking, I lost the first round last year.
But then also, like, we said this too, like, towards the end of the year, that's kind of where he's had his best results, like, in terms of...
Hence why I actually thought US Open, I didn't expect him to be losing in the first round. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I thought he would actually be doing well. But,
let's see what he does, during the indoor, European swing.
Yeah, definitely.
Another defeat. So, Matthew Forbes, we did mention... did we mention him yesterday? I can't remember. But yeah, 18-year-old Michigan State college player, actually. Mm-hmm. He won a wild card into the US Open main draw. He did play Junior Wimbledon literally 2 months ago.
Oh, okay.
So this was his like Grand Slam debut proper.
Nice.
Gave a good account of himself. And I watched most of this match, actually. Against Roman Safulin.
Mm-hmm.
It was a straight sets defeat, although he did serve for the second set, Forbes, but he was unable to put that game away and ended up going down in three.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really impressed with his level, Lucy. Like, I feel like he's a player that we're going to be seeing a lot more of. Obviously, he's going off to college this year. He was actually meant to start on Monday, but obviously... bigger fish to fry at the US Open.
Yeah.
I spoke to him after his match.
Mm-hmm.
And just basically asked him, like, can you kind of put into words like how it feels? You know, 2 months ago you were playing Junior Wimbledon, now you're playing US Open. Like, talk a bit about those experiences, and this is what you said.
Wimbledon's prestigious. I mean, obviously it's one of the most prestigious tournaments out there, but I had more of a crowd here because I'm from here, but it's more electric here.
Yeah.
Obviously, Wimbledon's a bit more like, but they clap, they don't cheer as well. I played a Brit first round, so crowd wasn't on the side exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, all the slams are nice, to be honest. So it's just nice, grateful to be out here.
Jesus Christ.
It's a lot, it's a lot, isn't it? They are so impatient. So, yeah, a really impressive guy, Lucy. And like I said, I feel like he's going to be someone we're going to be seeing a lot more of.
Yeah.
I like his game. I like his attitude. Like, he's, you can tell he likes the crowd. Like, obviously, yeah, being an American, the crowd were very much for him. Mm-hmm. And like, there's a lot of like Michigan kind of state chanting going on.
Yeah.
Because yeah, they're big on like their college sports, like in America.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just nice to see, and he was lapping it up. So I think he's going to be one of those players that kind of like takes or feeds off the crowd's energy, which is
mm-hmm.
cool.
Mm-hmm.
So a new name that we should be looking out for, Matthew Forbes. Matthew, so shouts yeah. out to him. So yeah, before we close, Lucy, day three, jam packed day three.
Wish.
So you've got Madison Keys in action, Francis Tiafoe, Coco Gauff, Taylor Townsend, Ben Shelton, and Gael Monfils.
Very American.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And
God also, bless America.
There's also doubles. There's also doubles. Like, doubles kicks off yep. on day three. So
does mixed doubles kick off tomorrow as well?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about okay. mixed. I think it's just men's and women's doubles. I think mixed later on. I think. I'm not sure. But I just know I've seen doubles on the schedule.
Guys, so sorry if you're hearing someone honking. I hope I'm able to
please work your
take
magic
this out when I edit. If not, apologies in advance. It's,
sorry, guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, that wraps up day two at the Open.
Ooh-wee.
Man, Lucy.
It feels like, do you know what's so funny? I feel like I've been here for six
Stop
days.
It. I was going to say, this is a much better episode than yesterday.
It is. Sorry, guys. I was tired yesterday. No, I wasn't really there.
Lucy was very tired.
The jet lag's beating my butt.
I think
right
you've
now.
Done well with the jet lag. To be
I don't think you understand, Eugene. Like, was it 8, 9 p.m.?
You're
my
done,
body
you're
is
done.
Like, oh. yo, you're supposed to be in bed right now. And that's what the first morning. At New York, I woke up at like 6 something because
yeah. my
to be
watch
like,
is still on UK time. So
yeah.
like right now it's like 4 a.m. in New York, in London.
See,
and it's what 11:20 here.
Yeah, see. So, oh, are you looking forward to tomorrow starting without me? I'm getting on the grounds a bit late,
stop
guys.
It. I'm not gonna lie, I'm dreading the journey. I might get a taxi.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Eugene.
But anyway, that's not for the listeners to know. But yeah, guys, man, thank you. Also, shout out. We met one of our listeners today.
We met quite a few listeners, but yeah, one of our number one,
which was one of our day ones, Catherine.
For real.
So good to like meet you. So
a Brit as well.
Exactly, come all the way from East London.
A Brit as well. Oh, she's East London.
Yeah. I think
oh.
I think she said this is her first US Open as well.
Yeah, she said so. Yeah. And she felt the same way as
a lot going on.
Yeah. No. Shout out to her.
No, it was really nice speaking to her, man.
Yeah, for real. And shout out to everyone who's been, you know, listening. And shout out to the new listeners.
True.
One thing I love about the Grand Slam is that, you know, we're very active, so we get a lot of new listeners and, you know, so welcome, guys. Welcome to the fam. Stay locked in. Listen, share, check the tweets, check the Instagram posts. Make sure you cap your merch.
Yeah.
To cap for capping merch. I think she was actually the first one to cap it. That's how you
know.
That's
way.
Said,
oh,
day
wow.
one
That's
for
amazing.
Real.
Love
so
that.
Yeah, make sure you cap your merch, guy. Blackspinglobal.com. Show some support. but yeah, hope everyone had a great day too. And we'll be back for day three at the US Open.
Cheers, guys.